Welcome back to Friends Bible Study. Today we'll look at the last section in John 9, verses 35 to 41. The blind man sees, but the Pharisees are blind. That's the title. In these introductions to each section of John chapter 9, I've emphasized aspects of humility in our approach to God, which I believe is one of the main lessons of this chapter. Jesus said in his prayer, found in Matthew 11, verse 25, "You have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and revealed them to little children." If you think you are wise and learned, God will hide himself from us. But he reveals himself to little children. This is quite an amazing statement. Pharisees and religious leaders were wise and learned. They thought that they were wise and that they understood God's word and God's ways. However, they totally rejected Jesus, the Son of God. He was the one the prophets predicted would come. Jesus was the greatest revelation of God, but they could not see and could not receive him. As we prepare our hearts to hear the word of the Lord today, let us come as children who have humble and open hearts to receive from him. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today as children, not thinking that we're wise and learned. We confess that we cannot understand apart from you. Teach us your humility. Teach us how to come to you as children every day. And may the glory of Christ be revealed in the sharing of his word. Let's begin at verse 35. The blind man sees, but the Pharisees are blind. Jesus heard that they'd thrown him, the blind man, out, and finding him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who speaks with you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus did not ask the man if he believed certain doctrines, but asked, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" Jesus was asking this man to believe in a person, not in a set of doctrines. Jesus was asking him to believe that he is the Messiah. The original text most likely says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" Versus, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" The Son of Man was spoke of by the prophet Daniel, referring to the promised one sent by God. The question, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" meant, "Do you believe I am the Christ, the one who came to save the world?" The blind man's experience and perspective was much different than the Pharisees and teachers of the law. He could not forget the long years he lived in complete darkness. He had lived in the dark throughout his youth and through much of his manhood. But Jesus healed him, and the light that he had never known surrounded him. The Jewish leaders were analyzing and interpreting Jesus' words through their doctrines, Bible knowledge, and traditions. They were stuck in their own human logic and human reasoning. But the man who was blind could now see. He could see the physical light and light from the Spirit of God that flooded his soul. The blind man's physical eyes and his spiritual eyes were open. When Jesus said, "You have been both seen him, and it is he who speaks to you," he was looking at Jesus with his physical eyes, and at the same time had spiritual revelation that he was talking to the Son of God. I am sure he never forgot that moment. In verse 38, he said, "Lord, I believe." He worshiped Jesus because he believed that Jesus was the Son of God. Faith is a response to the revelation God gives to us. He shines into our hearts and gives us understanding of who he is. When this man saw Jesus both physically and spiritually, he knew that Jesus was the Son of God and believed in him. I think people who come to faith have a similar experience. They have experiences and questions about who Jesus is, but at some point their eyes are opened and they see the glory of Christ. He is the King of Kings, the Creator of all things, and the Lord of the universe. He is our Savior, who humbled himself and endured the pain and the shame of the cross for us. Salvation only requires three words, which are the words the blind man said to Jesus. Lord, I believe. I have quoted 2 Corinthians 6:2 a few times in our study of the Gospel of John. Today is the day of salvation, and now is the time of God's favor. One main reason John wrote the Gospel was, as in John 20, verse 31, that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. We have covered several verses in the first nine chapters of John that invite and implore people to believe and be saved. In John 1:12, it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. We are saved by believing in Jesus. The most familiar verse in the Bible is John 3:16. God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God has been speaking to people's hearts from our study of the Gospel of John, and today from this story. It only takes three words to believe and to be saved. Lord, I believe. And Father, we pray right now that you will open the eyes of our friends, family, people we know to meet you face to face, like the blind man who was healed. May they encounter you personally, believe in you, and worship you. Give us a spirit of faith and boldness to share the good news with them in your name. And now let's look at verse 39, or beginning with verse 39, the last three verses in John chapter 9. Jesus said, I came into the world for judgment, that those who don't see may see, and that those who see may become blind. There is real no contradiction between this verse and other verses in which Jesus said that he did not come to judge the world. For example, in John 12:47, Jesus said, I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. This verse is speaking about the immediate purpose of his coming, which was to die for our sins. In John 9:39, Jesus was speaking about the result of his presence in the world. Some people believe in Jesus and are forgiven of their sins. Others reject him and are not forgiven of their sins, but will face eternal judgment. Rejecting Christ and refusing to believe in him is the sin that ultimately brings eternal judgment upon themselves. The second part of this verse 39, in the second part of verse 39, Jesus said that those who don't see may see, and that those who see may become blind. Jesus came to open the eyes of people who are both physically and spiritually blind. He is the light of the world. He promised in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He shined into the darkness of this world and into our hearts so that we can live in the light of his presence. However, Jesus also came that those who see may become blind. When Jesus said, those who see, it was his way of saying, those who think they see. They become more blind because they reject the light and thus bring judgment on themselves. Verse 40, those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, are we also blind? When Jesus found the blind man, they were not alone. Some of the Pharisees were there. Having heard the things Jesus said in verse 39 to the blind man, they indignantly said to him, we are not blind too, are we? They expected a negative answer. Surely Jesus could not be suggesting that they were spiritually blind like common people who didn't know the law. But Jesus said, yes, you are blind. They were experts in the law and were the recognized religious leaders of Israel. They were confident that they did not lack spiritual understanding, but in reality, the reality is that they were blind to spiritual truth, but they did not know it. And by refusing to admit their blindness, they confirmed the darkened condition of their hearts. Verse 41. Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see.' Therefore, your sin remains." The meditation given for this verse is, what kind of blindness is Jesus talking about? In verses 39 to 41, what was the core problem of the Pharisees? I have stressed that pride and boasting were the core problem of the Pharisees. They thought that they could see, but were blind. They thought they understood the truth, but rejected the source of truth and the key to wisdom. I think this is the main point of this verse and of John chapter 9. Jesus was writing so that people could believe in Jesus and receive eternal life. He gives several accounts of people who did believe, but also went into a lot of detail about people who did not believe. I think he wanted us to understand why some people believe in Jesus and others do not. Proverbs 26:12 says, "Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him." Being wise in our own eyes cuts us off from the wisdom of God. The Pharisees could not admit their blindness. They said, "We see." They did not admit their need for God or open their hearts to respond to him. They were proud and hard-hearted. They were blinded by their pride, self-righteousness, tradition, and self-centered interpretation of the Word of God. Spiritual sight comes only to those who acknowledge that they do not see, who confess their spiritual blindness and need for Jesus, who is the light of the world. On the other hand, those who think they see on their own apart from Christ deceive themselves and remain blind. Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would be better off, but you claim to see. Therefore, you are guilty." Blindness would at least be an excuse for not understanding, but they did understand and rejected Jesus because of their pride and hardness of heart. It is always easy to criticize the Pharisees, but we must let the Word of God speak to us instead of just using it to point out the failures of others. Jesus said in Matthew 5:3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." We must acknowledge our own poverty, pride, and need for God to be able to receive from him and to live in his kingdom. We must also acknowledge our spiritual blindness to receive spiritual sight and to walk in the light of his presence. I confess for the 10,000th time that so many of my problems in life have been due to thinking that I see and thinking that I am right. Let's pray. Father, we come to you not as wise people who see. You are our light and our salvation. We come to you as children, acknowledging our need for you and looking to you alone for light, wisdom, and life. Thank you that Jesus humbled himself and came into this world to save us so that we may live in the light of your presence. In your name, amen.